your trust in uncertain riches.
Amen.
But put your trust in the living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because he's not one time a year. He's on it all the time that we'll believe him. He's all the time God. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you're going to have challenges in your life. You can forget not having challenges. You're going to have challenges, but you got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, number one. After you're born again, you don't understand the Bible? Good. Get in there and read it anyways. Get in there and read anyways and read it anyways. I don't understand everything about the Bible. I don't understand everything about God. But I do know that he's real, he works, he's good, he gave me faith, he brought my family back together. My God, he put me in business, hallelujah. He's helped me when the business failed me.
That's exactly right.
He's helped me when people failed me, money failed me, banks failed me. He's a good God. But you know what? All through it all, I didn't lay down and cry. Sometimes I would get a little low, Johnny, now. I got to admit. When them trials gets long and hard, seemingly never ending, just like that, you'd lay it down. I don't think I'm going to get it. Why? Not seeing it. That's simple. That's real simple. You know? And that's okay for Zach. He ain't been here but 8 years. He shouldn't even wait. I mean, 8 years is only 8 years old in the Lord. But next time, he won't. He'll be like, oh, no, I done killed that bear and that lion, David, remember? And here this Philistine, I mean, if he believed for a Mustang, it's coming. If God told him he'll have the Mustang, well, but God, if he'll hang on to that, you know, there's steps up a ladder to the top. And God will ask you to be thankful with the manna he gives you, to have a thankful heart. See, God's speaking to us all the time. I remember one time I was going through some financial trials. See, when we're going through trials, we feel all alone. We feel like nobody knows. Nobody knows. Oh, just poor old me, poor old me. It's just all about bad, bad, bad. See, we got to be careful in them times that we don't get in a wrong, get out of faith and in unbelief where God can't do nothing for us. And you know, when we do get like that, we'll turn people off and they won't be around us. Whining and griping and complaining. When we're doing our best not to do that. Because we know all of that ain't going to get us nowhere with God. You know, but I remember, and I'm on my back porch, and the trial has been really long, financial. I'm 3 months behind on everything. Doesn't give me foreclosure for my house. The banks are fixing to come after everything that I got. We're going to be homeless. We done give away a home and you know, a lot, you know, I'm there, and I'm feeling discouraged because nothing seems to work. I know God can move. I know, but things ain't happening. You know, and every day I can't make enough money to even pay the bills. So don't give me this. I don't understand your financial trials. That God don't. But you know, God had me in there for a reason. God had made choices, wrong choices. God wasn't doing it to me. Don't think God's trying to take nothing away from me and you ever. Ever. He's not a subtract God. He is a teaching God, yes, through things. But anyways, I'm on my back porch and you know, and I'm standing there, and God spoke to me. He said, you can have it all. He said, you can have it all. Well, remember now what we talked about? We talked about Naaman.
Right.
The other night, Naaman goes out, and God gives him word to go over there and let the prophet pray for him. God got that. Got him over there. Well, then he goes in there and Naaman's expecting the prophet to come out, lay hands on me or pray for me and everything will be over. Well, that ain't the way it happened. Naaman got upset, but finally Naaman did obey what God said. When Naaman obeyed what God said, within, you know what happened? The leprosy left him.
Right.
See, when the Lord is speaking to us, we got to act on it. We got to act on it. I mean, if you're sitting in a service and you've got challenges in your body, and the minister gets up and he ministers on healing, he ministers by Jesus, you can know it all day long right here. But when it's coming and it's the word of the Lord, act on it.
Yeah.
Act on it.
Yeah.
What do you mean act on it? Don't go about confessing that junk no more. Teresa challenged again with that garbage, you know, and I told her yesterday, I said, but God, we're going to drive it out.
Yeah.
Drive it out. Somebody say, drive it out.
Drive it out.
Well, you don't drive it out by just driving a nail on in.
Right.
Woe's me. Woe's me. I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about any of us.
Yeah.
But God, if you believe you're healed, well, then get up and say it. Think it. Meditate on it. Hear the scriptures on it. Read the word on it. Get it before our eyes. Meditate on it night and day. Then healing will come. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. See, God's already said in his word by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Now, but God, I'm going to stand on that until I go home to be with Jesus. When I feel weak, and I do at times, I don't go around saying, I'm weak, pray for me, I'm weak. No, I got to let my words be lined up with his word, with what he's already said over me. See, God's already spoke through his word. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Hallelujah. Had a guy one time, the pastor, I'd done some work for it and come out there and he brought a big bag of pennies. And he says, this is all they'll give me is pennies. And I said, what do you preach, pennies? You preach them broke, they'll be broke. You preach them sick, they'll be sick. You preach them devil-minded, they'll be devil-minded. But if you preach faith, and I say, knock down in my church. Chunks come to me all the time. I don't even like pennies.
Yeah, right.
And I started confessing that up all that congregation that are, y'all ain't doing me like that. Keep me broke, bless God. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not a penny guy. I tell Teresa all the time, you're a $1,000 woman, not for $100. $100 don't even get her crank. She needs $1,000. That's a good thing. We done been down there where the meal barrel was dry.
Right.
We done been down there where there wasn't more oil to cook nothing. We done been down there where you know you're behind on everything you got and ain't got no money and you have to get before the Lord and ask him which bill did you pay first. You pay something. And then the Lord speak to me and say, you can have it all. And I stood there on the back porch and I thought, bless God, what this ain't gonna happen to me. I can have it all. Then I just got up. The word of the Lord comes to you, act on it. That's no different than him telling Naaman, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Now God could have said, I got a truck, I got somebody bringing you a fat check. I would have rather heard that.
Right.
But no, he speaks to my heart and says, you can have it all. Well, I want bulldozers and tractors, my house caught up, and I want land, and I mean, there's a lot of things I want. He said, you can have it all. So I jump up on the inside, hallelujah. I kept on coming down here. Y'all never knew I was broke. Y'all never knew I couldn't buy a cold drink coming to church. Y'all didn't know. None of y'all knew I drove 3 or 4 weeks past empty to come down here and preach what I was preaching. Only y'all might have thought, man, he got plenty of money. Why? Because the Lord told me years ago, never let Satan see you sweat. You know how he sees you sweat? I don't know what we're going to do. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I mean, I'm telling you. People sitting at home this morning, they didn't feel good. I feel oppressed sometimes myself, sweetheart. But you know what? That's not me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I don't feel like coming to church sometimes just like all of them sitting at home didn't this morning. But bless God, I got the victory.
Amen.
I'm not going to sit down in defeat and let Satan keep me out from under the anointing and the presence of the corporate anointing in the house of God that I get healing and strength and deliverance from.
Right. Right.
Now, the Bible says, as we have believed, therefore we speak. You don't understand how it is in my house. I don't want to understand how it is your house. I'd rather see you in victory coming on over here giving us testimony.
Amen.
You're going to have to get up and fight and shut that mouth up.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get ugly with you. Well, shut up. If you feed the devil, just quit feeding him.
Right.
You know, if a stray cat comes at your house, don't go, oh, sweetie, I'm going to get some niblets for it. Oh, it looks so hungry. You feed that cat, that sucker's going to stay there forever. But God, he'll stay there forever. But if you say, oh no, well, I was out there, me and my brother, he got his sawmill, we putting it together yesterday, and we spent a couple hours, looked around there, there's two of the cutest little half dash hound mutt puppies. They're pretty. And I hope that little puppy comes over there, and he's over there, and he's jumping around on that little pile there. I said, look out. Cute he is. I said, look at that little puppy. I said, she's giving them away. I mean, you know, the lady wanting to give them away, you know, they're pretty little puppies. And I said, look at that. I said, she's giving them away over there. He said, they grow up. He got a little experience, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
That little puppy's cute, not bad, but he grows up. And then you got to, I mean, you know, you got a lot to do if you're going to keep it in the house unless you want to. You know, bathroom all in the house, you want the body train. All that stuff. Well, if you feed Satan, he's just like that.
Amen.
He is chaotic. You see chaos in people's lives, and you just start getting involved, chaos is coming into your home. Chaos. You get around people that believes, I just don't believe in that faith stuff. You're going to not believe in faith stuff if you hang around them very long. Because they've got a spirit driving them. They got demonic spirits driving them, influencing them, giving them thoughts. This stuff don't work. This stuff don't work. I had it myself. The faith thing don't work. It don't work. It don't work. I thought, well, I wonder why I'm having them thoughts. I can't find that in the Bible nowhere. It's got to be Satan.
Right.
That faith stuff don't work. The Bible says if I have faith is a grain of mustard seed, right?
Yeah.
Those thoughts are kind of be coming from darkness. Right. But if I don't know that Bible, I'll be like, well, it don't work. It don't work for me. I tried that healing stuff. And it didn't work for me. It didn't work. No, you failed. You failed the test. There's no way God is not faithful. There's no way that his word has lost its power. There's no way that God said that I watch over my word. There's no way that it don't work other than unbelief. Other than quit believing. Other than giving in to darkness. Giving in with our words. Hallelujah. People told me here when we were, I thought about this church. And the Lord told me to start a church. Now, I didn't want to start a church, to be honest with you. I really loved my church. I was involved in the food ministry, the bus ministry, the street ministry, going out and winning people to Jesus, laying hands on them. I was involved in the jail ministries. I oversaw a jail ministry for 3 years. You know, and I mean, I got to do things at my church and different things. I didn't want to come down here, to be honest with you. I mean, I got excited in here because he was speaking to me, but in my mind, I'm going to have to leave my family up there. Y'all know how it feels if you really love us and love one another. You know how it feels, you know? But I knew that that was the word of the Lord. But I'd seen people get mad at church. And so I went before the Lord and I started fasting. I said, God, is this really you or is this the enemy trying to get me out of the place you put me to where I'm serving? I'm happy here. You know, I'm fulfilled up here. Is this really you, Lord? Where I've seen people, you're called, go start a church. You're called, go start a church. Shut up. You're not my God. People will get your life in a mess. Get you right out of the will of God. Right over in. I don't know why I'm having to preach this way this morning, but hey, it's real. I wasn't going to be messed up. I didn't see too many people messed up. I mean, I even had Richard call me one time. Well, they're having, the church is on fire over there. They're dead now. That church went under. I'm not down in. I told Richard, I said, you can't, you got to stay. You go if you want to, but you better stay here. That church went under. I'm not down in them. I don't know if they was going to stay up or not. I don't know if they called by the Lord or not. I know everybody better be led where they're hooked up and going. And it's important to be hooked up where God wants you and have your confession. And people used to say, oh boy, I mean, that church is on fire. And I would tell them, yeah, so am I without that church. But if I got to have a building to get fired up, I need to go to the altar. I got to go. I mean, baby Christians are that way. They got to have those services so they can stay strong, you know. But as we mature and we get in that word and we eat ourselves and we fast and we pray, we won't have to have that midweek as much as we used to. We'll be coming in the midweek to rescue somebody else. Hello, how's it going? Boy, it's been hell and high water. Yeah, we've been swimming in those waters to swim in over here. And they just don't know you got more trials than they have. But they don't even, they can't even tell it. Why? Because you're a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, I preached one time and I said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Billy
Goat. I said Billy Goat.
He thought I did.
Really, and so he goes down there, he's a young Christian. He goes down there and asks what the preacher preached on. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Billy Goat. They said, that ain't no Billy Goat in the Bible. I preached fast, you know, and he thought I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Billy Goat. So he went and told him to preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Billy Goat. Yeah, they read it. Praise God. But you know what? He comes to me one time and he said, oh man, there's a rumor floating around. He said, I'm going to lose my job down there. I said, praise God. He said, what? Oh man. I said, listen to me, man. I said, don't listen to that rumor. I said, it don't make no difference. I said, you just be prepared. If you lose your job and walk out of there with that pink slip, glory to God, praising God all the way out, knowing that your God's got a bigger door for you open somewhere else if you lose your job there. Change that dude's life. He didn't lose his job. He kept getting promoted and where he was at. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was hearing the word, going out there, baby Christian, and just doing what he was hearing. And started saying it. Somebody told me one time, he said, I don't believe you really have to confess with your mouth. You know, God sees your heart. I said, but then why would he tell us to?
Right.
If God says, just believe in your heart, don't say a word. I said, there's nowhere in the Bible, friend, that I've heard that I've seen that. I said, the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. With the heart you believe, then what have you got to do? Have you read that?
Yes.
With confession.
Amen.
I said, you got to speak. I said, why does the Bible say in Proverbs over there, Proverbs 18, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit of it. I said, don't. I said, you're too late to try to convince me that I'm not going to go around talking like God does. See, the widow woman had to respond to the word of the Lord. When she responded to the word of the Lord, and she gave that man of God a whole cake first, the Bible says that she took that out, the barrel began to fill. And it didn't. See, because she hearkened to the word of the Lord. See, the Lord will speak to you a word about your situation. If you really want to know, and you really are serious with God, and you really want to know, and you fast, and you wait on the Lord, and you ask Him, and you just don't wander around like thinking, well, if He wants me to know, He'll tell me. Now, the Bible says, if you'll seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. Do you know what? I went through that. God said, He said, you can have it all. Well, Johnny, I got up, praise God, and I thought, man, that devil's playing a trick on me here. And I didn't realize it because I'm in this trial. See, you got to watch out in them trials that you don't let that mind drift too much. You don't let the way you feel. I felt slap defeated. I felt like worse than I didn't even feel like a good father. I didn't feel like a good pastor. I felt like I had failed this church, failed my family, because I can drive a truck or I can do anything. So I felt like, but God would not let me move.
Right.
I mean, I guarantee you right now, I could leave this place and be in my truck 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would go to work somewhere before 9 o'clock. I promise you. I believe that. But you know what? I rose up and I said, glory to God. The Bible says, stand still. See the salvation of God over there in Isaiah. Lord, I'm going to stand still and I'm going to see you. And then I started confessing. We will lose nothing in the name of Jesus. And I told Satan, I said, you mark it down in your calendar. If you've got one, you idiot, you can call him an idiot and it'll be okay. Because he is if he thinks that we're defeated. Read your Bible, Revelation, we win.
Amen.
Well, I started telling, saying, you might as well leave me alone, but God, I'll not lose my house, I'll not lose my car, but God, not many days from now, if you got a calendar, write it on it, I will be above and not beneath. I will lend and not borrow. Now I started the scripture, now I'm getting right. Now I'm getting on the airplane going out of there. I'm coming out now.
Amen.
Ain't nothing happening in the natural, but I'm coming out. I feel it.
Yep.
And then before you know it, praise God, woo, man. Lord just come and brought breakthroughs. I've not been behind on none of it since.
Amen.
See, the Bible says those that endure to the end, those are the ones that will be saved. Well, saved is a package deal. Salvation is not just getting saved so that we miss hell. You know? No. It covers our whole lives, praise God. But I thought about this land down here, this lower building. Well, God told me to come down here, and God told me to. I come down here, I was actually leaving work. I come in, had my office in there, in this building, overhead door office. And I went into office actually and did some things, and then I told the Lord, I just got on my knees in there and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to get in my truck, Lord, and I'm going to ride through the city. I'm going to ride through, because I knew I was called a month for, you know. I said, Lord, I'm going to ride through the city, Lord, and you just speak what building you want me to believe for. You just show me where you want me to start the church at. I didn't have a clue. And so I get out and I get in my truck and I almost get to the stop sign right there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, use what you got. And I looked in the mirror at this building. And I thought, oh, no, not that. They won't nobody come to church there. Man, that's an old warehouse. I mean, this thing looks wonderful from that time till now.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, man. I mean, we didn't have no water. We didn't have no bathrooms. We didn't have There was nothing. My office was actually made out of pallets. That's the only room in this whole church. This whole floor was out here, no ceiling here. This was a skating rink at one time. You know, that wall of that was a hole. I mean, this thing was in bad shape, you know. And so I thought, no, man. I got excited. I thought I had thought about that. So I come back down here, you know, and then I walked in. And then I walked in here, and I thought, man, this could be a big church. And then I thought, but Lord, I got money in this building. He said, I want you to give it to me. I thought, kind of like Naaman. Kind of like that widow woman. Amen. You know, if I do that, I mean, me and my son are going to eat that and die. And I'm thinking, oh man, that was part of my investment for my family. Buying this building. I didn't want to pay rent and waste money for my future. And I thought, well, we're about to buy a building. And then later on down the road, we'll sell the building for money. You know, that's kind of like we ought to be doing now. Planning for the future. So anyhow, God said, well, he said, give it to me. At that time, man, I'm thinking it was like $17,000, $18,000. Something like that. And I said, well, it'll be okay, Lord. I'll let them just make payments to me. Till I get my money paid back. Y'all lucky y'all got God. Look, God, y'all paying me back for my money. $17,000, man. Then it done took me 2 or 3 years I'd paid on it. And so God said, how'd you get it? See, how'd you get what you got? Faith. I said, faith. He said, how'd you get it? Faith. No, how'd you get it? His word. So where'd it come from? You, Lord. I had to come to the conclusion. I wouldn't have it if it hadn't been for you, Lord. So, you know, but anyways, that's not the way I wanted to go in what God was telling me. Millions of Christians today, God's told them to go to church. Go to church. Every time they get around somebody, God, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to church? They turn on the TV. No, why don't you go to church? Why don't you go to church? And they still won't go to church. Y'all think I'm just, you know, on this church. You know, no, God is. God ordained it that way. God brings healing in Zion, Mount Zion, even in the New Testament, Old Testament. Mount Zion represents the church. He said there'll be help and healing in Mount Zion. Not in your living room. God tells people, I mean, he tells them, you know, go to church. And they don't even realize that their financial future is in church. Their family life is in church. Their deliverance is in church. The oppression they're under will be broken because of the anointing in church. Hallelujah. Healing power is flowing in this place right now.
Amen.
Through physical healing.
Hallelujah.
God's word goes in. Paul, I believe it was, or it might have been the psalmist. He said, your word is working mightily in me. He didn't say your word's working all around me. He said it's working mightily in me. He said it'll be held to all of our flesh, his word.
Glory to God.
Well, I listen to preaching on TV, brother. Well, why ain't you sending tithes to him? You're eating at their house. Why don't you tithe to them? If they're your pastor, they're the ones that God's told you, sit on your couch and listen to preaching from home. You know, read your Bible. You know, you can have communion at home. Why don't you tithe to them? Send them your car. Somebody in their church needs a truck. They'll do that. David wouldn't know nothing about that needing a truck if he wasn't coming to church.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee you, if you wasn't coming to church, you wouldn't have enough faith and want to believe, be in a place to be a blessing. The Bible says it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So everybody out there in Facebook land and all over down yonder in Canada, wherever you're listening to, find you a good Bible-based church and get in the anointing of God and get in there and get off of all about you and what you feel and what you want. We all go that way. God leads us in paths that sometimes we'd just soon not be in that path. But that path leads to his way of doing and being and blessing. Hallelujah. And so I told God, I said, okay, God. I said, all right, Lord, okay. Okay. That was part of my future, Lord. This building. That was part of my future, Lord. I figured, you know, we'll work on it and one day sell it for $150,000, $200,000, 10, 15 years down the road. You know, Lord, I mean, but Lord, I said, but Lord, you're my future.
Amen.
It's not that building. I said, yes, sir, God. I said, I yield it to you and give it to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I wouldn't have nothing if you hadn't delivered me anyways, Lord.
Right.
Well, then we start the church here, and I made a commitment not to ever borrow anybody or anything, to do it because of my faith. By faith, God told me to do it. Y'all remember when Peter told Jesus, he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come.
Right.
And Jesus simply said, come. And Peter, I believe all of them could have stepped out of that boat. But Peter steps out of that boat and walks on the water, just like Jesus was doing. The reason he did is because Jesus spoke the word, and then he got up and acted on it. A word can be spoken to us and not act on it, you won't see nothing happen. You won't see the miracles. You won't see the deliverance. You won't see the healing. People wonder why they don't have no faith today. It's very clear, simple. It's not hard. You choose not to believe. I didn't believe on the Lord Jesus for years. I chose not to believe. Once I chose to do it, faith to believe that he died on that cross come to me. I don't know. I just believed it then. I'm like, he really did. He really did. Faith came. I opened up. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man open up. He'll come in. Well, when either you become a Christian, the Bible says you have faith. But you know what? You can lay that faith down. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can choose not to believe and get in unbelief just like the children of Israel. And Jesus couldn't do nobody works down there. He went about doing good, healing all that were sick and afflicted, the Bible says. But the Bible says he could only touch a few sick folks because he marveled at their unbelief. We're living in a time where people believe it if they see it. They'll believe God as long as hardship ain't coming. But when hardship comes, they turn away real quick. In the parable in there where it says some are on stony ground and some on this and that, he said, and the cares of this world come and choke the word that it become unfruitful. See, the word of God is what makes me and you fruitful. And if we don't take it in our heart and keep it in our heart and say it out of our mouth what we believe God wants us to be and do and have, well then something will come and choke that word and they won't know fruit. I believe that people will go to the grave with destiny in their heart. Unfulfilled destiny. That's not God's will. That is not God's will. I remember this lower building. I'm mowing it for my neighbor. I knew the people. Actually, she worked at the bank out there, and I banked at the bank, and the ones that own this building down here. And I'm mowing it one day, and the Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. I just had this knowing on the inside that was coming to us, coming to me. And so I thought, Lord, I got none. So next time I go to the house, I get Mr. Anointing Oil. Next time I mow that, I'll drive the outer perimeter and I'll pour that anointing oil all the way around that. All the way around that property down there. And I told the Lord, I said, now Lord, I said, I don't want it for nothing. I said, because I don't know if this man, see, you got to have a right, you got to keep a right heart in what you believe in.
Right.
I said, Lord, I don't know if he has this and this was going to be part of his retirement. I don't know, Lord. But Lord, I'm going to believe you for this, but I'm going to believe you, Lord, for the money to pay the man what's right for this. It wasn't even for sale. I'd actually brought it up to him. Now, I ain't going to get rid of it. I brought it up to him. Well, a few years goes by, and he shows up. And he says, well, I've decided to sell that building down there. And I said, well, I said, I'll let you know. I'm praying about it. Lord ain't giving me no check. Now, I know it's coming. I know. But I'm not feeling it on the inside of release. God's fixing to take me through and grow me a little bit. I believe he did it on purpose. Now I'm excited. I know I'm going to get it. Well, but I'm not getting a check from the Lord. So anyhow, I go on, you know, and I start fasting. Lord, is it time, Lord? I don't borrow money, you know, blah, 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 you know. And while I'm waiting on the Lord to give me an answer, because I'm not going to borrow no money, period. I can, but I'm not going to. I've made a commitment to the Lord, you know, that I'm not going to put y'all in debt where I have to get up here. Man, y'all need to hurry up and bring some money here. Light bill, payments are due, and blah, blah, blah. Well, the Lord wouldn't speak to me. And so he come back to me. He said, now I got to sell that. I mean, some time's going by here. I said, well, I can't do it. I just can't do it right now, you know. Well, I done made up a sign. He fixed to put a sign up, you know. And so after that, fear tried to grip me because I thought, man, somebody's going to buy that and put a junkyard down there. You know, man, open up a small engine repair, have lawnmowers piled up. I could just see that. That's coming to church. We couldn't come that way. That wasn't our driveway. You know, and I thought, oh, man, I need to do something. No, you don't.
No.
Not till you hear. No, sir, you don't. So I'm concerned about that, and I'm seeking the Lord. And then all of a sudden I heard on TV somebody giving a testimony how they knew the Lord wanted them to have that land, and then they sold the land before they got it. They wanted like $4 or $5 million for it at a high price for the land. And they'd made them a low offer and go give that for it. Well, in between the time they knew the Lord was going to let them have the land. The land sold. And then he said, well, it don't make no difference if it sells or not. He said, that land's mine, bless God. That land's mine. While I'm in this battle, I heard that testimony. And you know what happened? The people that bought that, something happened with them, and they saved $2.5 million. He bought it for $2.5 million less than what he would have had to pay for it before that guy bought it.
Right.
And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and put some scrap iron down there. It don't make no difference. That land's coming. And I'm on the devil. Well, you know what? Praise God. At the end of it, when I grew through that, I believe God wanted me to grow and trust him when it looks like things are not going to happen that he wants to happen. That being able to trust him and just keep not looking at things, praise God. See, you're going to have to mature that way. Everybody has to mature that way. You got to be able to believe you're healed when you're not healed yet. You've got to be able to believe and confess out of your mouth that you are blessed going in, blessed going out when you ain't got a dime. You've got to learn to call those things that be not when you want to call them like they are, because they're real. They feel real. They are real. But they're real defeated if you'll get on it. We got that. The Lord speaks to him and he says, tell him you're going to give you $5,000 down. I thought, I wonder if we got that much. I didn't keep up with it. I don't keep up with finance here. God drives me crazy some of them. Tithe 1 week, don't tithe for another month, because all your bills are due. That would get on my nerves. So I don't look at y'all. I don't look at that. So I don't know it. So I think all of y'all's tithing, I'm happy. Right? That's smart, ain't it? But we look not at the things that are seen. I'm not, you just don't take it on your tire fixing to blow out. Take it on everything. But we look not at the things that are seen. Well, he tells me, he says, tell him you'll give you $5,000 down and tell him you'll pay $500 a month. That's what the Lord tells me. So I went to him and I said, well, I said, the Lord said I'm not. He said, man, that's good. I said, I got a couple issues. What kind of problem? I said, I got a problem. What kind of problem? I said, I don't borrow money. He said, well, I'll just finance it to you. I said, fine, pay $5,000 down. I said, I got another problem. He said, what's that? I said, we don't pay interest. Well, I guess I just ain't going to charge you none. Why don't you go ahead and set your payments? I said, I already have $500 a month. Get the paperwork picked up, and I'll bring the money down there when you get ready to close out. So that's what we done. Well, you know what? There was a bunch of people quit church right after that. We couldn't afford it now. And so, praise God, I thought, glory to God, I've been in this long enough to know now. Don't look at those things in and out. Thank you, Lord. Well, then I started confessing. Thank you, Lord. It's paid off early. We're paying it off early. Thank you, Lord. Chunks are coming in. I started saying it out of my mouth. I didn't look at the mailbox. I didn't look at the tithes and offerings every Sunday. That's what you got to do. Get unfocused on what it looks like in your life or whatever the case might be, and get focused on the promises of God. Whether you believe it works or not, do it. Some people have never experienced what I'm saying. Hear it and hear it and hear it, but never engage in it and just sit carnal and wonder why you're oppressed all the time. I don't have time to be oppressed. I'm going to sit down in the middle of a cow, in the middle of them cows, and just rock still before I'll get oppressed. I promise you. I'll go get a hook, fish hook, and go fishing. I'm going a 3-day fast first. If I go to feeling oppressed, I ain't going to sit down in that mud hole, brother God. I'm going to get up and encourage myself in the Lord. See, the Lord's already spoke to you and said, victory is yours. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. If Christ be in you, then the power is in you. Amen. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. The Lord told me to, I remember Teresa, which is attacked with this junk. No reason. People, what's wrong with her? Nothing. Well, doctors ain't find nothing. What are you going to say? They can't find nothing. What's wrong with her? Nothing. She's drunk. She drank. She's drunk. Well, anyhow, last time that garbage attacked her, she turned on 24/7 preaching, got all of her healing scriptures, praise God, went out there. I'm driving this thing out of my house. I am. She is. We are. I mean, you don't the second battle put the white flag up. I'm surrendering now. It's just not worth the fight. No. Fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. And lay hold of things that are eternal. I saw her drive it out. I saw her have to walk by faith. I saw her, I slept without her for nearly a year. She couldn't cook or nothing for nearly a year. I had to mow the yard. She couldn't mow the yard. She couldn't do Sunday school. She couldn't do, it disrupted our whole life. So don't sit down and whine because you feel a little oppressed. Get up. Put the scriptures on the TV. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you're going to have to fight. I go in there and tell her, I said, you're going to have to fight. I'm believing God. I've been believing God. I said, well, there's a difference between believing God and fighting. I mean, there's a difference. I believe God too, but do something with it. Act on it. It's like Naaman. He could say, well, you know, I'll dip two times. I'll dip once. And Naaman wouldn't have got healed. He had to go under seven times. That don't make no sense to me. Does it to you? I mean, that don't make a lick of sense. Why God would tell that prophet to tell him to dip seven times? I believe I know why. I believe he wanted that rebellion out of him. I believe he wanted submission.
Amen.
See, submission, you don't have to agree to submit to the word.
Right.
Submission is a choice. It's a heart thing. Did you know that the reason why people, they think they got faith because they got it up here, they got knowledge up here of the Bible? But Bible faith don't come from the head. Bible faith comes in the heart. Believing comes from the heart. That's why the head tells you, because your body ain't changing, that it don't work. Your head will tell you. That natural reasoning will tell you. That's why the Bible says, lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct our path. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. We didn't get to know scriptures, did we? I thought about when the Lord told me to go on the streets. I got excited in here, and then the head keeps saying, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Then somebody calls my first service, and some preachers that got rocked. Threw rocks and hit them with rocks for trying to preach on the streets down there. So that news come, you know, and I'm like, man, how do you do it? So I go and ask people, how do you do it? How do you know they don't know it? God has spoke to you to do something. You the one that's going to have to walk by faith and let God unfold that. Other people will give you wrong direction because they don't know. Well, I just cast those thoughts down and I said, bless God, the Lord told me to go. The Lord's going to protect me. He's going to protect me. Black God, I thought, you know what? They tried to catch Judas and throw him off, and he just disappeared and ended up somewhere else. And I thought, Black God, I got an anointing. I got a shield of faith. Ain't no rock going to penetrate that.
Right.
It'll have to stop it then.
Right.
You know? Now, some people, I mean, that seems crazy. That's what I believe I held the demonic forces off down there. I never got one rock thrown at them. I've never gotten no. I had worse trouble out of Christians than I did anybody else, the devil or sinners. I'm telling you, the honest to God's truth. Church going people give me more flack and trouble than sinners or the devil did. But time after time, challenges would come down there to not have the services, and even preachers tell me call it off, and I would say, nope, he's God without that, he's God without that, he's God without that. And you know what? Even in thunderstorms, thunderstorms happened more than once, and I would rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And I would tell them, you're going to see. The first time I did, I said, Lord, stop the thunderstorms. He said, speak to it. I never had that concept. I've heard preachers say it, but I thought, nah, not me. I'm Scotty.
Right.
Nah, man. I still cuss a little. I still lie a little bit, Lord, you know. I mean, all these things come into my mind. I'm not perfect, you know. I still smoke cigarettes. I can't, Lord. He reminded me when Jesus spoke to that storm. Jesus spoke to it. He said, greater is he that's in you. Glory to God, I got up and I looked. I went out there to that window and I stood in that window, and James Spann said it wasn't going to non-stop. It was a line coming all the way from Mississippi through Tuscaloosa, and it had already started, and it was going to go all night long. I stood in that window and I rebuked it. I said, peace be still. I command you to peace be still. Look, got worse, you know. Didn't work, man. I thought, I'm going anyhow. But God, I'm going. I believe it. I go get in the van, go load all the stuff up, speakers and stuff, and I start to audio, and I can't drive at 30 miles an hour. It is raining. I'm talking about raining. and I fall off down into Indiana, and I get around there, and when I pull in on the parking lot where I did services, I'm telling you, there was a wall of rain. Not a drop of water hit that parking lot that I'm aware of from 7 o'clock until when I put the last speaker back in that van, it went boom.
Hallelujah.
You can believe that or not. I was there.
Right.
And from that moment on, I thought, bless God, I've been scared of tornadoes and storms all these years. And I've got authority, just like Jesus did over that storm that's trying to bring harm to their life, praise God. And you know what? He got on to them for not rebuking that thing. I believe he had done told them.
Right.
So, you know, our future is not up to God. He's laid it out in that word. So, you know, when the Lord speaks to you, act on it. The Bible says that the word being preached not mixed with faith will profit us nothing. I mean, I can hear about tithing, don't do it. It won't profit me. It just won't. I can hear about forgiving so I can be forgiven. If I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. That's the way it works. You know, the Bible says love my enemies. I don't have to. You know, I can just walk on in death. The Bible says for me to be a good steward. He wants me to steward my money. And some men, I just can't manage money. You don't want to manage money. You can't tell me you can't say no. Well, I just have a hard time. I blow it and blow it. Yeah, you're admitting it. Come on, man. You better go to the top. Y'all women, I just want to spend and blow money. You got a problem too. Jesus wants you to be a good steward.
Right.
Walked in Tracy's closet and I said, "Good God, look at all them shoes." She didn't want some more shoes. She's having problems with her feet. I said, "Man, you got 100 pair in there. How many pair of shoes you need?" She ain't got 100 pair. I was messing with her. I said, You got a problem with shoes. No, I don't have a problem with shoes. So I want to encourage you, though, when God is speaking to you, whatever he's speaking to you, just act on it. And the power is there to do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank you, Lord.